Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
Thank you, Automated Charlie, for that introduction. This is the Green Country Gardener. On this Saturday morning, it's 8:08. The number to call again, as mentioned, is 918-336-1400 or the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. If you have any questions for the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. Larry is joining us this morning. And how are you doing this morning, Larry?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for asking.
Boy, what a difference the day makes. Look at this. What's that yellow thing in the sky?
What is that? It's like, actually looks kind of warm outside and inviting, and there's birds singing and squirrels running around.
Last week there were penguins flying around. You know, the squirrels, crazy.
I didn't know penguins could fly.
Yeah, like pigs. But anyway, now this week, spring.
Yes,
I think it has something to do with the change in this clock thing coming up.
Yeah, that's probably true. The daylight savings time is definitely happening tonight, so just make sure that you set your clocks right.
So actually what we need to do is do the time change a month earlier.
We should.
And that way we'll have spring a little earlier.
Or not trust the groundhog to tell us when the weather's going to be.
Groundhog is actually right there.
Was it?
Anyway, golly people, it's time to get things in gear and start thinking about what we need to be doing in the garden.
Yes, what do we need to be doing
hopefully
in the garden?
Hopefully you've done your heavy pruning so far this year, but I rather doubt a lot of that has been done because of the inclement weather. However, we are going to have some pretty good weather, and I got a landfill certificate in the mail this week. So
from the city of Bartlesville, right?
It'll be time to trim back those shrubs and drive the Buick to the dump. Anyway, preventing weeds in the lawn, what can I do? Well, the best thing is a good, healthy lawn. That's the best thing you can do to help prevent weeds in the yard, and that means the regular fertilizations. Now, if you have Bermuda grass, don't bother with it at this point in time. If you do have fescue grass, in light of the oncoming weather and a pretty good chance of precipitation coming on, you might consider doing a first fertilization of your fescue grass at this point. It's going to be waking up and starting to grow, so you want it to give it some kind of a oomph so it'll go ahead and establish real well. So it is the first time or the beginning time right now to fertilize your fescue grass. Also, St. Patrick's Day is coming up real soon. Typically the time to put on the crabgrass control for your Bermuda grass. Now, Sunday, if it's not too wet, I plan on cutting my yard rather close and putting down the crabgrass control.
And why is that?
Well, the crabgrass comes up typically when it gets consistently warm. And it needs to get into the soil. It needs to be integrated into the soil so the seeds don't sprout. So typically the earlier you apply the crabgrass control, the subsequent application will have to be put on, say, in May. It's March, April, 3 months away. It only lasts about 90 days. So if you do put it down now, be prepared to put another application down in May as it gets consistently warm, because a pre-emergent works by preventing or stopping the germination process. It grows a little bit, then it kind of kills it off. There's still going to be some surviving seeds in the ground, and you'll have to do another application later on. However, if you wait a little too late to do it, it won't be integrated into the soil enough, and you'll miss out on the first. So you want to kind of do something about that pretty soon. So I talked about this about 2 weeks ago. Well, get it while it's hot, while you can, because a lot of people run out of it. So you might want to go ahead and get some of that. And because of the rain coming on, it'd be a good idea to get that into the ground. However, if you do plan on scalping or dethatching your yard, especially if you're going to dethatch your yard, you want to do it after that. So we still have a time window when it'll work. So this is kind of the St. Patrick's Day, the middle of March, is typically the earliest time you want to put down pre-emergent control.
Sorry to cut you off. Do you do anything at Green Thumb Nursery to go out and maybe help people with that if they need it?
They can come by and we can show them products. And then you can look at the instruction on it and see how many square foot it covers and so on. And that's kind of the advice we can give. But as far as going out to people's yards, I can go out and say, hey, you got weeds. And it's not uncommon to have weeds. Don't stress out over them. Everybody's got most everybody has some weeds in their yard. Mine's a good case in point. But anyway, so getting some weeds this time of year is just kind of natural. And I did put some Roundup on it at the last cold spell we had, I think 3 decades ago.
Back whenever there was like
it got into the 60s or something. Yeah. Yeah, and it was really nice. And it's finally starting to work on some of the Poa annua, and the hen bit's kind of curling up pretty bad too. So it just took it a while. It's starting to work, so...
Is there anything else people need to be aware of when it comes to, like, taking care of weeds at this time of the year?
Well, in your beds as well, too. And the number one way to control is mulch and pre-emergence. Mulch, a good layer of mulch, and 3 inches of mulch. Don't cut corners on it. Get and actually, you'll recover the extra expense by savings in water, because it does do a whole lot to prevent water loss.
What happens if you do cut corners, though, with that?
You get weeds, and you have to water more.
It's more weeds,
and you wind
up
buying the mulch, buying the weed killers, and buying the water. So if you just go ahead and put in a good heavy layer of mulch, a lot of your worries on weeds would just go away. So these are in shrub beds primarily. You can do it in annual beds too. I always put mulch on my annual beds before I plant them, and then I just dig a little hole to put the annuals in there and cover it back up. And actually, last year I did that, and I had very little problems with weeds at all. I used a heavy mulch and the pre-emergent weed control, and it did very good. I had a terrible problem with mulberry weed. I said, what is that? It's a weed that just comes up everywhere, and it's very difficult. Once it gets established, it's very difficult to control. However, controlling it, planting ahead, is a very effective way to control the mulberry weed.
Oh, besides mulberry weeds, what other kind of weeds are out there that cause problems?
There's a lot of grasses. There's some Dallas grass, crabgrass, and things in the beds as well as in the garden. And that can cause some problems. And I prefer to use just a heavy mulch method. It works rather well.
Okay. And I think we're going to go ahead and take a quick break right here. It's 8:15. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener on the radio on this Saturday morning. If you have any questions for Larry Glass, the number to call is 918-336-1400. Again, that's 918-336-1400. Or you can call the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. Again, that toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. The man with the emerald thumb would like to talk to you, and we're going to keep ourselves shovels sharp as we move forward.
Yeah, right.
It's March, and St. Patty's Day is almost here, and shamrock plants have arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Green Thumb has beautiful shamrock houseplants in green and purple. It's tree planting time. Green Thumb has a new shipment of trees, so get yours today. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, home of quality plants and more. Open weekends and Monday through Friday by appointment. Be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything, from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Missed consumer calls? Catch the archived week of shows at BartlesvilleRadio.com. Click the On Demand button, then click the Consumer Calls link, then click the day you want to hear. That's Consumer Calls at your beck and call. Consumer Calls on KWN AM 1400, live each weekday, 9:10 to 9:30, Saturday 9:10 to noon. But if you can't tune in live, head to the web at BartlesvilleRadio.com and listen to the archived shows.
KCD Enterprises is looking for part-time help. We're looking for game engineers and board operators to perform activities in the studio control room to ensure technical quality of our broadcast. If you are looking for part-time, after-hours work, this is for you. All interested candidates can go to the contact tab on BartlesvilleRadio.com and download an application, or stop by the station at 1200 Southeast Frank Phillips Boulevard in Bartlesville. KCD Enterprises is an equal opportunity employer.
And And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener here on the radio on this Saturday morning. It's 8:18. The man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass, is joining us. And if you have any questions for him, you could call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, those numbers, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass and I would love to talk to you this morning and answer any of your questions that you might have going on in the garden this week and in the months to come. Larry, what's happening in the garden right now? What needs to happen?
Well, it's still time to cut stuff back. It's getting time. Traditionally, this time of year, the nandinas have begun to grow, and that's not happening right now. Imagine this week they will start to come out and grow. The daffodils are a little late this year, too, so they're just barely coming up. But anyway, it is time to cut back those Yaupon hollies. And golly, they get a Yaupon holly gets 20 by 20 feet if you do nothing to it. It used to be a big plant. And I see some of them planted 2 feet away from the house. So they really need to be cut back. And don't be afraid to cut them back really far. I've done this to a lot of people's Yaupon hollies. And they come back really nice if you basically hat rack them. So it's time to do that. If you wait till later on, it'll kill them. But if you do it right now, the Yaupon hollies will recover rather quickly and form the nice shrub that they were, but a lot smaller. Okay, this holds true for dwarf Yaupon hollies as well. About every third year, I take a hedge clipper and just cut them. I don't cut them round. I just cut them flat across the top.
And why is that? Cut them flat instead of round?
Because by nature, they make a real nice mounded shrub.
Okay.
And that way, you only have to trim it once.
The less work you have to do, I think that sounds pretty great.
I don't have time for that. So I just cut them all the way down, and throw the clippings in the yard and run over it with a snapper, and it works real well. But anyway, so the Yaupon hollies need to be cut back right now at this point. Traditionally, the nandinas need to be cut down also. If your plants really aren't doing very well, you might consider getting a soil test. We talked about this quite a bit. To check your pH and your NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Those are the three basic elements. Basically, the hamburger and french fries that the plants eat.
Okay.
And then you got your vitamins, your trace elements underneath that.
But, yeah, I was going to say, we have talked about the testing of soil pH quite often. Is there ever a time where you don't test the soil pH, or is it like a constant thing that keeps happening over and over?
It depends on what you're planting. There are a lot of plants that are tolerant of a wide variety of conditions. Things like azaleas, for instance, are not, and our soil here is actually kind of toxic to them. So you have to modify your soil when you do ground prep to keep that pH down, so they'll do okay. But a lot of these, the boxwoods and the nandinas, the Yaupon hollies, and the bread and butter shrubs, they really are tolerant of a wide variety of soil conditions. So if you've got some really healthy weeds, chances are your shrubs will do real well.
Okay.
So
What else needs to happen in the garden?
Time to start your tomatoes in the house. In April the 15th is about 6 weeks away. So it takes a good 6 weeks for the tomatoes to come up and to be ready to go outside to harden them off, really. You might not want to plant them. The way the weather's been going, it might be a little chilly at that point in time. So you might want to plant them and harden them off.
Yeah, we were talking during the break about how you're trying to put a shovel in the ground last week or whatever, and it just kind of bounced because the ground was so frozen.
Oh, that's terrible. We were doing a sprinkler system, and we were in there with picks, and I was in there with an axe chopping the ground just to break the surface so we can get it dug out.
This was for somebody that wanted a sprinkler system installed.
Yeah, doing a sprinkler system, yeah. Uh-huh. So that was real fun, and we got some sore bones and muscles as a result, but...
Well, you rested up pretty well after that, right?
Oh, yeah, we got it done. So, anyway. Everything else in the garden, well, it's a good time to maybe think about planning for what you might want to do in your garden this next year. And that includes maybe coming by the nursery or just driving around. If you see something you like, take a picture of it. And we can ID the plants. One way to do it. So, there are a lot of ways or if you just happen to see something you really like, bring in a picture or something, and yeah, we got one of those over there, that kind of a thing. So
and while we're on the topic of gardening, I see here that it's a good time to get ready for your summer planting. How can people get ready for your summer planting?
Just make sure your soil is pretty well prepared for your summer plantings, for your annual flowers and things. it's a good idea to turn the soil over every year for your annuals. And if it's a little heavy, which you can tell right now by the amount of water that's in the soil, if it's really just kind of really just saturated and kind of sticky, you'll want to, in other words, it'll fail the drop test. Yeah, you want to add a lot of compost to the soil. Now, that'll be a very wise investment because your stuff will do really nicely by adding a lot of compost to the soil. I know that firsthand. So, and it doesn't smell bad this time of year because it's been kind of cool. So getting the soil prepared for your annuals is very important. You've got, 6 weeks to a month to get it done. So you might want to consider getting that underway as well.
Now's the time to do it while it's warm, right?
Yeah, while it's cool.
While it's cool. Cooler.
Yes, so you don't get overheated out in the garden. And really, when we plant annuals, for customers, we add a whole lot of this stuff, and it really does help them out a whole lot. So you might consider getting some of that in your garden when you plant annuals.
Anything else people should be doing with their vegetable gardens and moving forward?
It's time for cool season plants, things like carrots, lettuce, and spinach. And cool crops. You should have your cool crops in by now. Your old plants, of course, they probably would have frozen out. But if you can get some, you might want to get some of those. It's kind of on the late side to plant potatoes rather. But I think you can still have some potatoes if you plant some now. And onion sets. You want to get those out. Traditionally, we put them out in February. So here it is. The 1st of March, so this, so it's probably not too late to get onions out.
No, not too terribly late. But I think last week was the end of February, so about a week.
Yeah, so we're okay on that. So get you some onion sets and maybe put those out too. I planted some at my house in the past. I really like going out and just cutting off the greens and cooking them with breakfast. It makes it real good.
Man, you're making me hungry, Larry. I could use some scrambled eggs and maybe a little bit of some vegetables on the side. That does sound pretty good at this moment.
So anyway, that's something that could be done right now in the vegetable garden as well. As far as the annual garden is concerned, not a whole lot to do, just to get the ground ready. And as far as perennials are concerned, if you do have some tops on your perennials, I think it's safe to take it off. And also your ornamental grasses, time to cut them back. They're starting to look a little broken down. All the precipitation has caused the stems to kind of rot, and they're just sort of looking kind of peaked, so it's time to cut them back. And the liriope, or commonly known as monkey grass, it's time to get the weed eater out and cut that back too. It looks especially bedraggled this year, so don't skip out on that process because it'll look a lot better if it is cut back and fresh leaves come out to take place of the winter-burned old leaves.
All right, and we've been talking a lot about vegetable gardening and just gardening in general. What should people be doing now with their fruit trees?
Fruit trees, pruning, still very, very, very tail end of pruning. Right now we are in the process of kind of spraying a little bit. Look for borers on your fruit trees. The spinosad is the new borer control. It's apparently very effective. It's an organic type too. And it's been touted as effective as the lindane has in the past. So spinosad is good to use on that. And one thing I want to bring up also, it's kind of off the cuff, or off of the fruit tree thing, is crepe myrtles. I went to a house this week, and I see a lot of it happening all over town, is scale on crepe myrtles. Scale is an insect that just kind of sticks to the plant and just exists only by sucking the juices out of the plant, and it exudes a clear sugary sap that ants like, and incorporated in that are eggs for more scales. So ants really like that sweet stuff, and they get their feet in it, and they spread them around that way. So it's an interesting symbiotic relationship between insects, the scale insect and the ant. But anyway, to control them, you need to be kind of proactive about that and put the imidacloprid down. Yeah, imidacloprid is a systemic nicotinoid, and it's absorbed by the plant, and it affects the central nervous system of the insect and makes it lose its appetite, and it sort of dies. So, so you want to go ahead and apply that pretty soon. We've got a bunch of it at the nursery. It's a big seller. I would refrain from using it on your fruit trees. merely because there is some debate as to whether or not it is toxic to bees. And when the jury is out, we'll know for sure if or not it is toxic to bees once it gets into the tree and all that. I do like to use imidacloprid after fruit harvest or pretty close to fruit harvest to do any control of borers and whatnot in there into the tree. So right now, check for borers. We can put a topical application of the spinosad on that. And typically on a regular basis, I use, on my fruit trees, I use spinosad and neem oil throughout the summer to help control these little worms that get into the fruit.
Okay.
So works pretty well. So, and these are neem oil and the spinosad are typically organic and they're very harmless to mammals. So something okay. You might want to consider doing.
Yep.
Okay.
That's scales and... Again, scales if you want to take control of those little pesky...
Yeah, scale and crepe myrtles.
Yep. And if you have any other questions about what's going on in the garden or what's happening with fruit trees or maybe just want to know what the tree of the week is or the shrub of the week, make sure you give us a call here at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, Larry Glass, I'd love to take your questions about what's going on in and around your garden. 918-336-1400 or the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. And Larry, you kind of touched base on your Green Thumb Nursery location. And I think we'll probably talk about that a little bit too when we come back.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Sure.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Green Country Gardener.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out and buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages. And you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod, Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
At Peter's True Value in Dewey, it looks a lot like spring. Gardening time is arriving and Peter's True Value has seed potatoes and onion sets available. Browse their gardening section for tools, seeds, gardening ideas, and more. Get a jump start on your garden and head into Peter's True Value in Dewey. Peter's True Value in Dewey, where they say, start right, start here.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
This is Kurt Mead with Wellspring Clinic, and radio is the perfect medium to broadcast a worthwhile message. Radio really does get results.
Radio gets results.
Radio
gets results. That's radio.
Funky B for the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. It's 8:32, just about. You're listening again to the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Sun's still shining, pretty bright. We did get through that storm, didn't we, Larry?
Yeah, it wasn't much of a storm.
Yeah, it was more of kind of like just a sprinkle.
Probably the worst effect it had is creating a nightmare for me about having to huddle and hide from the lightning. But
yeah. Flashbacks to your childhood days whenever storms were
exactly.
The scariest thing in the world. Well, we've kind of been mentioning it throughout the morning. You can't call and ask Larry Glass any questions. And, Larry, we actually do have a call this morning,
okay.
Our first of the day, so we're going to go ahead and take that.
On.
Good morning, caller. How can we help you on the Green Country Gardener?
Yeah, I was wanting to talk to Larry.
Okay.
Sure.
Hey, I've got a question about monkey grass. Is there any way to get it out of your lawn?
Out of your lawn?
Ew. Yeah, in with my fescue.
There isn't really anything that's selective enough to remove that. from your fescue. So as far as that's concerned, Liriope is an extraordinarily hardy, tough plant. It is a member of the lily family, however, meaning it's a dicot. And I've never done this before, but you might try using a broadleaf weed control on it. That might kill it out.
That's what I was wondering. I'm not to the place that I don't have a large area.
Yeah.
But it keeps spreading.
Right.
And so I didn't know whether I need to dig all my dirt out and start over again or what.
Well, that's kind of been the way we've done it in the past. Get you a pallet of sod and dig it all out and start again. Then it'll just creep in again.
Yeah, my neighbor is that's their lawn.
It's pretty tough stuff. But I haven't done this myself, and I really haven't heard any word on how to selectively remove it. But if you go back to the plant's physiology, it is a dicot.
That's what I thought.
And chances are it's a member of the lily family.
And, yeah. Okay.
Probably
another question is I never did. I got to looking at my. I've got a young girl. It's about 6 years old. Delicious apple tree. Is it still too late to do a little
pruning
on it?
To do a little pruning on it, you say?
Yeah.
Oh, no, right. Not at all. No, it's not too late.
Okay, good.
This cold weather, we're about 3 weeks behind or so in our time frame on the.
Yeah, we've got another cold snap coming up, I think. So
I don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear it?
I don't want to hear about that, no. But yeah, I think we're all right. We're still all right on pruning fruit trees.
And see, this was supposed to be a semi-dwarf and it's got real tall. Is it okay just to top that sucker, bring it back down?
Not on a non-selective method. You want to, of course, prune it properly.
I tried, but I just want to shorten it up.
Yeah. You go back to a node and cut it back. Rather, you don't want to leave a stub anywhere. You want to always cut it where another branch or a leaf is going to come out.
Yeah.
So that'll heal up pretty quickly. But you can shorten it that way. Uh-huh.
But I definitely need to shorten it because I'm to the place I'm not going to use a pole saw.
Yeah, well, semi-dwarf is somewhere halfway between a dwarf and a standard.
Yeah, right.
So there's a miniature peach tree, which is pretty nice. But I had one that got eaten up by boars.
it's time to get on that spraying right now. I'm probably a little late already.
I think they're going to be starting pretty quick, so we need to get after
it. Get my neem oil out and soak them down good.
You bet.
All right, sir, I appreciate it. I'm going to try some of that broadleaf on that because I can't hurt that lawn. I mean, it's not a big area.
Yeah.
But do a little experiment before I get the show around.
Okay, yeah. Call back in a while and see if it did some good.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Al. Thanks for calling.
And again, if you have any questions, we just had that caller asking about his stuff. And if you have any other questions for Larry Glass, the number to call is 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And Larry...
So we hear all these nightmare stories about monkey grass.
Yeah.
There is a variety that doesn't do that. It's called Big Blue.
Big Blue.
Uh-huh.
And that actually sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's a clumping type. And also the Silvery Sunproof is a clumping type of a liriope. I have some at my house. It's been there for 30 years. And it's still in the same clump.
Still clump.
Now, one thing, if you want something to spread, you might consider Silver Dragon liriope.
Man.
That stuff spreads like wildfire. You plant it up in Dewey, it'll be down in Oshaleta in about a week. It spreads that fast.
That is pretty fast spread.
That's fast spreading, yeah. So if you have a problem area, it'll work very effectively. And if you have an area that's pretty well contained, say between a sidewalk and a house, perhaps, and you just don't want to do anything with it, Silver Dragon would probably be a good solution. It's kind of pretty. It doesn't like the sun, though, very well. It kind of shies away from the sun.
Today's not its day, huh?
it's not a sun-tolerant plant, Silver Dragon is. But the regular green liriope, it'll grow on Mars, it grows about anywhere. So if you have an area that's difficult, you got a lot of erosion or a place you just want to forget about, it might be a good consideration because of its hardiness.
Okay. And during the break, we kind of mentioned, spring is upon us. Landscaping is probably a big thing that's happening right now, right?
Right. You got to kind of look at your property and, And if it doesn't look right, or you got a really nice house, but it just the landscaping is just really a mess, you might consider having us come out. I can come out and look at your yard. And sometimes the shrubs you have over there are good enough. And I say, well, all you need to do is trim this stuff back. And because a lot of the common landscape plants, such as the boxwoods and the hollies and the yelpon hollies and nandinas, they can be whacked back. And it'll get your landscape under control by cutting it back rather sternly. So sometimes I say, well, the best solution is just to get out your pruning shears and cut it back. And if it doesn't work out, you know, so what? Replace it. You're planning on doing it anyway. So, and there are a lot of shrubs now that are out that are miniature compared to what we used to have. For instance, in the realm of the Nandina, there's one called Obsession, which is a really nice plant. It maintains color real well throughout the season. And it doesn't get so big. It doesn't spread like crazy. It's a really good plant. I've used some of those in residential and commercial landscapes very successfully. We got a caller?
I think we might have a caller, yes, and we'll see if they want to talk about landscaping all there, Larry.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you this morning?
On the wrong show.
Okay. Were you thinking that this was consumer calls?
Yes.
Consumer calls will start in about 20 minutes or so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll leave you be.
It's perfectly fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so landscaping, and you have to think, when you're thinking about your landscape, you have to consider a lot of factors. One of which is the architecture of the house, and how is your landscape going to enhance that? You don't want to hide the house, you want to frame it, especially if you have a house that has some architectural interest to it. You want to choose your plants very carefully, and the arrangements of the plants, you want to choose that very carefully as well. So you don't detract from the house. You want to complement the structure. A second factor to consider is how big can these plants get? In other words, if your windows are really high, a lot of these houses built in the 60s have windows that are like 10 feet off the ground. And well, you don't want to put a single big bush. You might consider layering it down a little bit or coming up with some interesting compositions that can add a whole lot of interest and actually some value to your house if you do have an interesting landscape. And also, how much time do you want to spend maintaining your landscape? Well, 90% of the people, I don't want to do anything to this. I just want to plant it and forget it. And there are some plants that stay small that allow you to do that. So, and thirdly is final factor is a cost. You know, this is going to be a big investment. It's not as big, say, as a kitchen remodel. I know I've been there, but... But it is a fairly significant cost. So you want to consider maybe a phasing plan. Okay, this is great. We get the beds all drawn out. And then throughout the summer or over the years, I can go ahead and buy plants and just plant them. So we can do the initial layout. And after we settle on a landscape design, I can just get some paint and paint it on the ground. And you can do your ground prep if you want. And then I can reject it and say, you need to do it again. Stuff like that. And once that's done, it's just a matter of time of getting your plants. Then you want to do your big specimen kind of plants first because they're going to be your big expense items. And you'll want them to be, you know, pretty good size eventually. So, yeah. So a lot of times they're slower growing because you don't want to plant a giant plant. You want something that's kind of mid-size up next to the house. And it might take a little while to get there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, phasing it over time for finance and also for growth of the plant. It's very important. Ground preparation is very important. Grading is very important. We have a caller?
Yeah, maybe we not. Do. We okay. do. We have a caller. Okay. We'll go ahead and take this. Good morning, caller. How can we help you on the Green Country Gardener this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm kind of curious about scale on crepe myrtles. What does it actually look like?
You look at the crepe myrtle plant. Typically, a crepe myrtle that is affected by scale, the stems are characteristically darker than a regular crepe myrtle. At this point in time, the stems on the crepe myrtle should be a grayish brown, light brown color. That's the first thing you look for at a distance. Then getting closer into the plant is characterized at this point in time by some white spots on it. And it's pretty easy to see. Okay. That's the mealybug is also a bad, too. But scale is a real small insect about the size of a pencil point. And you have to look pretty close to see it. But the dead giveaway is the coloration of the stem.
Coloration of the stem.
Right. That's mold growing off the honeydew that the scale insect produces. And it's typically it's a black mold. Which is the one you don't want in your house at all. And those are the...
I've got four crepe myrtles. Two of them are real old. They're with the house when I bought it back in 75.
Yes.
The other two I planted, I think, about 4 years ago. I bought from your place. They're black diamond or diamond or something like that.
Yeah, those are good plants. Right
there. Yeah, anyway, they've done okay, but... still kind of straggly. How far back should I trim those things?
You trim them back anywhere from 3 to 5 feet below the point which you want them to attain their ultimate height in the summer. So if you wanted 8 feet tall, cut it back to 5 feet or whatever, kind of like that. So about 3 feet below their ultimate height, because they do grow rather quickly here coming in the spring.
Kind of fertilizer or nutrition do I put down for the new ones and the old ones?
I've had very good luck with milorganite.
Say again?
Milorganite, which is...
Milorganite.
Uh-huh, yeah. Used a lot on golf courses and whatnot. I've had very good luck with that on crepe myrtles.
Okay. And you just sprinkle it around the...
Yeah, you've
the plant out to the drip line or something like that.
Yeah, just pour it on the ground. I do just indiscriminate applications because it doesn't burn. And it does a very good job of producing blooms and some good growth on the plant too.
Well, what about my fig tree? I've had it about 4 years also, and I think the best it's ever done is produce like a dozen figs. I'm also thinking the fall, so that the frost, the hard freezes won't kill the roots, but. The thing doesn't do real well, and I was wondering if we're supposed to put more phosphor in the fertilizer.
Yeah, a good fertilization will help. Figs really don't like an excessive amount of moisture, so you make sure that the area in which they're planted is well drained, and they do very well with the southern exposure on the house. All those factors in there, and try not to water it too much, and should do fine. Really, most of them just thrive on neglect there.
Okay.
I know somebody who's got some. Go ahead.
Well, what kind of fertilizer do I need for
it? I would use maybe some bone meal on it.
Bone meal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The bone meal is a good source of phosphorus, and it does help encourage some blooms and some fruit production on it, too. Typically, they'll get enough nitrogen from when we fertilize our yard. Should do okay for the nitrogen levels, but some bone meal will help it out.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. By the way, with regard to getting rid of the lily turf or monkey grass,
yes,
I had a kind of a quarter round flower bed under a juniper tree in the front yard, and some years ago, my wife planted monkey grass as a border around on the street side of the thing. And it over the next 2 or 3 years, just flat took over the entire thing. It was like 10 feet by 10 feet or maybe 12 feet by 12 feet.
Yes.
Total monkey grass before too long. And I found that the only way I could get rid of that stuff was to go in there with this, I forget what you call it, darn thing, but it's a T-shaped tool with some spiral teeth on it. And you turn that, and it digs down into the soil and lift it up, and then you get the monkey grass roots out that way.
Right.
And it's the only thing. The monkey grass hasn't come back. There's other places in the yard where the monkey grass, like between the sidewalk and the side of the house, it's doing quite well, but I don't have the, what do you call it, silver star? I think I just got the...
Yes, silver dragon is that variety.
Silver dragon, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's see. The last thing I wanted to ask about is I've got a couple of places on a tree I trimmed several years ago. You know how a tree normally scabs over a place where you cut off a limb?
Right.
That sort of thing. This one place, it hasn't done that. And when the limb came off, it didn't come off clean.
I see.
How late can I can I cut that and we'll still have a chance to scab over the summer?
They can be cut back anytime, really.
Anytime?
Yeah, okay. The healing over that is what will occur, you know, throughout the year. It doesn't just heal over just, you know, once. It does it all summer long. Yeah, and okay. And cut right. It.
Thank you much, Larry. I really enjoy your show.
Okay.
Keep up the good work.
All right.
Listen to it.
Great. All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Good ideas.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you now.
See you at the shop.
Great. Bye. Anyway, when we do present a landscape plan, you get the plan itself plus a cost estimate, and the labor is usually is presented separately from that, so you can make that decision to do it yourself if you want. And like I said, I'll come out and paint it on the ground. This is how big the bed should be, and so on.
And we'll talk a little bit more about landscaping when we come back. I think we're going to take a quick break. It's just about 8:49. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener.
How many times this week have you asked, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Well, just call the Weatherline Forecast Service at 918-336-2900 and find out. You get the forecast plus the time and temperature from the studios of Newstalk 1400 K1. Weatherline Forecast Service brought to you by Oklahoma Wesleyan University, Stunk Funeral Home and Crematory, Hearing Life, and your friends at AAA. We update the Weatherline as the forecast changes, so you're always up to date. So put your numbers in the phone and call 918-336-2900.
It's March, and St. Patty's Day is almost here, and shamrock plants have arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Green Thumb has beautiful shamrock houseplants in green and purple. It's tree planting time. Green Thumb has a new shipment of trees, so get yours today. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, home of quality plants and more. Open weekends and Monday through Friday by appointment. Be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan.
The Great American Conference Tournament returns to Bartlesville for the conference's final championships at Bruin Fieldhouse this weekend. The tournament continues today with the semifinals and finals tomorrow at Bartlesville High School. Featuring former Bartlesville High Lady Bruin Haley Tucker and one of the nationally ranked teams in the country, Southwestern Oklahoma State University's women, Southeastern Oklahoma State, Southern Nazarene, East Central and Oklahoma Baptist will also be on hand. This weekend at Bruin Fieldhouse, NCAA Division II basketball with the Great American Conference Tournament.
Hi, this is Rod McElvain, pastor of Grace Community Church. Jesus' busiest day is recorded in Mark 1, 16 through 35. And a prominent feature of that day was Jesus going from person to person, healing the sick. At Grace, we're convinced that prayer is powerful. The prayers of an army of prayer warriors can accomplish more than we know. It's our delight to come alongside those who are desperate for God's intervention and then pray for His healing touch. If you're seeking a spiritual place where prayer is paramount, please visit us. We meet Sundays at 9:15 and 10:45.
And we're back with the Green Country Gardener. It's 8:51. It's a beautiful Saturday here for you. Larry's been talking to us quite a bit about landscaping, and there's also some stuff going on with landscaping in regards to saving water. How do people do that? How can you help them with
there's
that?
Several ways. Plant selection is one way. Xerographic is the name of the game when it comes to plant saving water. And there are a lot of varieties of sedums and succulents. And we've sold quite a few. They're becoming more and more popular, it seems, sedums and succulents and drought-tolerant plants. But it's very important to prepare the ground for those particular kind of plants. Typically, they don't grow in the clay. And, you know, I say this every week, you know, clay soil and stuff doesn't grow in it. Well, it doesn't. So you might consider consulting with us about ground prep also. And the deeper the preparation you do also, the more the roots can go into the soil and take advantage of the battery in which the soil is when it comes to water. And so prepare your soil real well, prepare it properly, and consider plants that are xerographic, those that can take drought. And some of the common shrubs do a pretty good job of that. Boxwood does a very good job, and dwarf yopon hollies and nandinas are so-so about drought tolerance. But a lot of them that we do sell, junipers and whatnot, are quite tolerant of some drying conditions, and some of them really won't grow in the wet conditions. They need some dryness. So that's one thing. Then you might consider what type of irrigation you might want to put on these plants. And there are several kinds. There's drip irrigation, which is pretty effective. It's pretty inexpensive, too. Typically, drip irrigation is an above-ground system. And I've got one at my house, and I have a manifold up by what I call a manifold up right next to the house, a big, half-inch pipe. Then I run these little quarter-inch lines out to the individual heads. It works quite well till you run out of water. You got to be careful not to overload your available water. So it's broken up into two different areas in the front yard. So drip system is very effective. I've used it in my house for 15 years and works rather nicely. The rainbird kind of sprinkler systems with the buried underground and all that works quite well also. It's very reliable in that you don't interfere with it with your mowers and weed eaters, because it's all pops down. It takes a bit more pressure to run those, so you want to do a meter tap when you do a regular rainbird type sprinkler system. And then you have timers and so on. We can get into the timers and all that too. There's a lot of cool stuff out there on these irrigation systems too, as far as that's concerned. So, and hand watering, of course, is another one. Now, that hand watering kind of plays into adding a lot of mulch. Well, we talked about first thing on the show. And typically, you just kind of observe your plants and just go out and take a leisurely stroll with a hose and water your plants. So those are kind of the three ways to consider watering your plants. Plant selection is good for cutting back on water. And soil preparation is good for that also. And picking the type of irrigation system you install has a lot to do with conserving water.
And when picking up irrigation system, what do you think would be the most effective irrigation system to use?
The one that applies water very specifically, and that would be a drip system or a soaker hose. Soaker hose can waste a lot of water if it's put in areas where plants don't need it. So the regular in-ground sprinkler systems, they're very effective in watering. The important thing with those is they do apply a lot of water in a given period of time, is to not overwater, and people have a tendency to do that, especially when they get their new toy. They get it all installed, get out there, push all the buttons, and get on their phone and turn it on and all that. Well, next thing you know, you got root rot everywhere. You water it too much. So don't be over-enthusiastic about the sprinkler systems. Keep in mind our soil here typically is very heavy, and it does hold water, the clay content holds water really quite well, almost to the point where it gets anaerobic by watering too much. So you do want to have a time gap between waterings. So in all actuality, all those three sprinkler systems are effective in saving water, actually. But you have to be sure to know what's going on in the soil before you water. Don't just unconsciously apply water on a sprinkler system. Just make some observations as far as how your plant's health is concerned and the moisture content in the ground before you turn on your sprinkler system. After a while, you'll be able to develop a schedule to where you can do a proper time span between when the irrigation is done, so you don't tend to overwater and waste a lot of money on water. And our reservoir is built in the 50s, and the town has grown an awful lot.
It has grown a lot indeed, especially since I was in high school 5 years ago.
And ourselves and several other people in town are putting in sprinkler systems just left and right. It's going to be coming to a point where you just can't keep up. So we're going to have to be very smart about the way we water.
We are indeed. And I'm sorry to cut you off, Larry, but we have one more break we got to get to, then we'll come back and we'll talk about the Green Thumb Nursery just a little bit before we go.
Thanks.
Shortly after Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic flight to Europe, the Dole Pineapple Company sponsored a race from San Francisco to Honolulu in 1927. Lindbergh refused to fly in it, noting, "He couldn't miss the continent of Europe, but he sure as heck could miss Hawaii." Frank Phillips saw the race as a great opportunity to advertise his new Phillips Aviation Fuel. Frank found his pilot, a Hollywood stunt pilot by the name of Arthur Goebbels, and named his plane the Woolerock in honor of the ranch. Eight planes took off from San Francisco on August 16, 1927, and only two planes finished the race. The flight took over 26 hours, and the winner was the Woolerock. Charles Lindbergh described it as the greatest event in air history. For the next year, that plane barnstormed the country, advertising Phillips fuel, and finally returned to Woolerock. Mr. Phillips instructed his staff to build a stone hangar for the airplane, which they did, and he stored the plane there. As he collected more and more art and artifacts, he stored a lot of it in that hangar until he finally had to enlarge it. Today, you know that airplane hangar is the first room of the museum as you walk out of the dome room. Next time you visit, remember what that room's initial purpose was back in 1928. That same airplane hangs proudly today in the museum at Willow Rock, where magic still happens every day. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
We're going to go ahead and start wrapping up the Green Country Gardener here. Larry's going to talk to us a little bit about Green Thumb Nursery and where you could go, what they have, and I think you have shamrocks, right?
Yes, look there. We have a whole table of them here, see?
Oh, man, they really do. Those are gorgeous.
And they're purple shamrocks, and they have pink flowers on them, and the green ones, of course, that have the white flowers on them, two different sizes. So check them out. They're really pretty, actually, right now, and it's getting to be pretty close to St. Patrick's Day, so it'd be kind of fun to have some of those.
Yep. And, of course, you're located along Nowata Road, close to Jared's Frozen Custard and the car washing place I'd never forget.
But it's time to sharpen that shovel. We'll see you next week.
Don't wait for a rumble. Get earthquake insurance at Phoenix Insurance, 918-336.